more than a year after original reports that at least 40 veterans died while waiting for care at Phoenix, Arizona's veterans health facilities, the Department of Veterans Affairs is still the center of controversy. Yesterday, the VA's Inspector General released a report showing that nearly 900,000 veterans have pending applications for health care, of which 300,000 may have already died, although it's hard to tell because of flawed record keeping.
This week, we also saw a new development in Wisconsin's own Toma VA Medical Center scandal. The director of that center was fired Wednesday after a whistleblower revealed back in January that the center was overprescribing painkillers and intimidating and retaliating against employees who spoke out.
Here with us now to talk about the latest news out of the Toma VA is Donovan Slack, USA Today Washington Bureau reporter. And coming up, we'll also speak with a Washington Post reporter about the new national report on the backlog of pending applications. Donovan, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
So did the VA share any specifics about why the Toma VA director was let go?
No, they didn't. They're being quite tight-lipped about the whole thing. In fact, they will only say that he was, quote, separated, although the VA has told members of Congress from Wisconsin that he was, in fact, let go.
Do you expect to see more information released, or is this kind of secrecy par for the course?
I think with everything in this story, it is going to be a continuous drip, drip, drip of the facts as we learn them mainly from whistleblowers.
Now, what exactly were the allegations of misconduct at the Toma VA Medical Center?
Well, I mean, you had an Inspector General investigation, and they found an overprescription of opiates at the facility. And earlier this year, a VA investigation also found that there was a fear of retaliation among staff members, which made them too scared to bring up problems. And I think this is where the director may have gotten caught out.
And beyond that, that culture of maybe fear for whistleblowers or having employees who were tentative about speaking out, is there anything we know that would indicate that the director was responsible for some of what happened at the VA center?
Well, I mean, I think any time you find this level of dysfunction, I mean, we should mention 35-year-old Marine Corps veteran Jason Simkuski died as an inpatient last August from mixed drug toxicity, which is the very overprescription of opiates that inspectors found there. Anytime you find that kind of dysfunction, the buck is always going to stop with the director.
It took a year for this to happen. Any idea why, if that was the case, it's taken a year?
Well, in this particular case, this scandal did not become public until January, when the Center for Investigative Reporting really blew the whole thing open, so to speak. So, in fact, it has been 6 months or 9 months, as it were, but that's really short in federal government time standards.
And have there been any final conclusions as to what exactly happened there, the culpability, and why?
In fact, we are still waiting word for what is going to happen to the chief of staff at the Toma VA, whom veterans had nicknamed the Candyman, and who actually approved the additional opiate said to have killed that Marine last year. He is still on reassignment, and I was told today by the VA that administrative, action against him is still, quote, ongoing.
So now that the director of the Toma VA has been let go, do you consider this sort of a mark of closure for this episode, or is there going to be a lot to continue the investigation?
I think there's still a lot to come. Besides what happens with the chief of staff, I think that we're expecting more congressional hearings here in Washington that actually have to do with Toma. Next month, I know Senator Johnson is convening one. I think there will be others, possibly about opiates. It's important to understand that what happened in Wisconsin is rippling across the nation when it comes to opiate prescriptions and other harmful practices.
And Donovan, what do you know about the latest in efforts to ameliorate some of these problems and find the causes and cures?
Goodness, you've got me there. The VA is the largest agency as outside of the military. I think there's 300,000 employees. There is always going to be issues, and the VA has pledged to fix each one individually. As far as the overprescription problem, they've issued new standards. They're trying to roll out new tools so doctors and nurses who are treating vets can gauge whether they are overprescribing or not, and there's supposed to be better controls in place to make sure that they don't.
Have we heard any reaction from veterans themselves?
The veterans, I'm hearing a lot more from whistleblowers than I am from veterans, quite frankly.
Well, Donovan, we'll leave it there. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That was USA Today reporter Donovan Slack talking about the firing of the Tomah VA Medical Center director on Wednesday. And now Emily Wax Thibodeau joins us. She's national staff writer at The Washington Post, and we'll be talking about an investigation released yesterday showing a backlog of applications for VA care nationally. Emily, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much. Happy Labor Day.
And to you. So tell us, what are the main findings from this new report?
Well, the most shocking finding, whistleblowers, they've been pointing this out for months on end now, is that the data system is not accurate enough to keep track and purge people who have died and veterans who no longer need care but are still on the list. So it's a very confusing, by the VA's own words, system, and it's sort of just another problem in a vending machine of woes that the VA seems to have.
So when the VA says that the system is confusing, is that a remark on the technology that they're using or something else?
I think so. They have pledged to streamline their system. Keep in mind that the VA was a paper system for decades. You would go to warehouses filled with records of veterans. Nobody was online. The new benefits administrator, Allison Hickey, actually was the first person several years ago to put everything online. So this is a fairly new shot at all the software to keep everyone updated. But it's just a credibility question. A lot of veterans are very perplexed that they're not getting their information quickly enough, that the lists are, the numbers are so high, yet people are already dead.
Right, that 900,000 figure seems to indicate that people who are still waiting for care right now who aren't getting it. So that's the accurate number, 900,000?
Yes, but 300,000 are thought to have already died. Another complicated part of this is that people sometimes, veterans sometimes apply to get appointments, but then end up going elsewhere. So they also haven't developed a computer system yet that is able to cull this information. Another whistleblower from Atlanta pointed out another glitch in the system, which is that combat veterans are supposed to get their benefits right away and not be judged by their income. However, the computer glitch was putting them on a waiting list and judging them by their income. And these are recent Iraq and Afghanistan combat veterans. So this whistleblower had brought this to the attention of the IG and is also awaiting a statement about that.
So when you say the combat veterans are supposed to get their benefits right away, do you mean that if they need to get in for medical care, they're supposed to jump to the front of the list and get seen right away?
Not necessarily jump to the front of the list, but there are certain criteria that the VA has to get you treated. Often it includes your income and whether you have private insurance. But if you're a combat veteran and, for instance, an amputee, you're supposed to not have to submit that information. But they actually, in fact, are making people. So the VA has, by its own admission, a lot of work to do in fixing the computer problems.
Now, you mentioned that it may be that 300,000 of that 900,000 on the waiting list may have already passed away. Is there any way of knowing whether the wait contributed to their death?
That's a tricky question and one that nobody has an answer to. It's very possible that some have and some haven't. No one's sure. And even the IG's report, the investigation, said they have no way of knowing. There's unreliable data. It's all a big mess.
What has the VA said about why they're unable to purge the deceased from their list?
They say they don't have the right software. They say they're working on it and that this is a priority for them. And I know that Secretary McDonald has pledged to streamline their computer systems. He often talks about how there's 14 different websites with 14 different passwords, and veterans get very overwhelmed even trying to access the most basic services. People with PTSD, you know, can barely keep track of all of this as it is. So he's made it one of his goals. He's been in his position for a year now, and I think they're still trying to sort it out.
We're speaking right now with Emily Wax Thibodeau, National Staff Writer at The Washington Post, covering veterans and veterans affairs, talking about a new VA investigation out yesterday. According to that report, nearly 900,000 veterans have pending applications for health care.
We'd like to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. Maybe you have an experience that can help tell this story. Have you or someone in your family sought health care at a VA facility, maybe in the last year, and for better or worse, what was your experience? And if you work at a VA facility, have you witnessed a long wait times for veterans? What's the system like? Is it working where you work? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post at the Central Time Facebook page.
We're continuing our conversation with Emily Wax Thibodeau, National Staff Writer at The Washington Post. We're talking about a new VA investigation out yesterday, finding faulty record keeping and long waiting lists for care.
We'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you or maybe someone in your family sought care at a VA facility? How did it work out? Good experience, bad experience? If you work at a VA facility, what are things like at your work? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we go to our callers now. We have Chris with us in Janesville. Chris, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you. What is your experience?
I had a pretty good experience with the VA. Once I got in the system, it took me about a year to get myself into their computers or get myself into the system. But once I did, the care has been phenomenal. It's been really good.
Okay, so
I understand that not everybody has the same experience, but my experience has been pretty good with the VA so far.
Okay, so good experience. You said, though, what did you say, it took a year to get into the system?
Yeah, when I registered, and this was in the state of Oregon, but when I registered originally, I guess my paperwork went into one computer system, and it didn't register with the other computer system, so I never got my first visit, my initiation visit for a little over a year. And I had to go back and actually apply the second time to get the ball rolling. But once it was rolling, they did pretty good.
Well, thank you so much, Chris, for calling and sharing your experience with us. Appreciate that. And Emily, what do you think about the story like that? The wait is a long time getting into the system difficult, but once there, the care he found quite good. Emily, are you with us? And I think we have lost Emily, and we're going to go next. We've got a couple more callers. Let's hear what you've got to say. We've got Brian joining us next at the Toma VA. Brian, hello.
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
My comment is basically I've been in the VA in inpatient now for almost 2.5 months. And like the last caller, it is absolutely phenomenal. The only problem I'm seeing right now is that because they're under the microscope so much that their decision-making process has been limited or they're afraid to make a decision, so no help is better than helping too much. And as far as the doctors that issue all this opiates, I don't know the full story on it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they're darned if they do and they're darned if they don't. You know, if this individual is really serious and complaining, and all of a sudden, you know, the doctor says, no, we've been issuing too much of that. Sorry, pal. And, you know, after that, you know, he's hurting so much. And then you got other people that may, you know, be abusing the system. But it's the individual that's abusing it, not the doctors.
So, Brian.
Doctors can only believe exactly what they're told.
Brian, you're describing part of what you said there was that it sounds as though the culture there, people afraid to, kind of walking on eggshells with the decision-making there, is that affecting the care as you're experiencing it?
I wouldn't say it's affecting it, but it definitely slows it down a little bit because now they're so scared, afraid to make a decision that, you know, they got to check with three other people before they do it.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Appreciate that perspective as we talk about this right now, talking about news about long waits at the VA system and the release or the letting go of the director at the Toma VA recently as well. And we're going to go next to Ed in Wisconsin. Ed, hi.
Hi. Yeah, been in the military for about 19 years now, and over the years I've developed pretty bad back issues. I've had to, so I strictly go to the VA, just financially viable for me.
Mm-hmm.
However, I've been asking my VA doctor for something, either physical therapy or chiropractic, anything. Finally, after a year and a half, I was able to, I guess, talk him into it, is the best way of putting it, so I can move forward. I have a hard time standing for longer than a half hour, this kind of thing.
And, Ed, do you think if you had gotten that okay sooner that your quality of life would have been better?
Oh, by far, yes.
Or do you appreciate the caution?
Sorry?
Or do you appreciate the caution that your doctor saw?
I will find out. I've had one appointment so far with my physical therapist.
Okay. Well, good luck to you. I appreciate you calling, Ed, and telling us about your experience. Time for another call. We've got Eric next in Fifield. Eric, hi.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. What's your story?
Well, I was in Desert Storm. I was with 82nd Airborne. And when we got out, there is something called Soddy Syndrome, where there is a bunch of us getting sick, and they weren't sure what was going on or what was causing us getting sick. And I had knee surgery shortly after getting out down at the VA Center in Milwaukee. And after that, I was in Iron Mountain. I went to the VA Hospital in Madison. And I started breaking out in random rashes that would cover, like, my entire half of my body. And I had gone down to Madison, and I basically got interrogated for, like, a half hour. And the doctor determined that I was allergic to a dog that I didn't have until 4 months after I was breaking out in these hives. And when I questioned him on that, he actually said that my body was just preparing to get allergic to this dog that I had no idea I was going to be adopting from a shelter. And that was the last time I went to a VA center. That was in the 90s.
Eric, thank you. I'm sorry we're out of time, but I really appreciate you calling and sharing your experience. So important to get the voices of veterans in on this issue. And thanks to everyone for calling as we talk about a new VA investigation out yesterday, finding faulty record keeping and long lists for care for veterans.